This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A snowy day in KC. I don't have to tell you guys how brutally cold it is outside. Hope you're staying safe.
Unpleasant.
Not great. And also, today's the warmest day of the next three. So, you know.
Hooray!
Today's not going to be that bad. You know, think about it that way. Wait till Thursday when it's negative 28 wind chill or something like that. But hope you're staying safe. Once again, I feel like we've said this a lot recently because of the winter weather and stuff. But props to those of you that have to be out in it. Those of you keeping the roads safe, working for different cities, municipalities, and in a lot of cases, a lot of you that maybe are in the landscape business that are out there plowing developments and parking lots and things like that, making sure everybody can get home. So we appreciate you. Shout out to all of you that are forced to be out working in the elements. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Once again, they're very busy, I'm sure, today and over the next couple of days.
You'd think so.
913-586-7965. You have a good weekend, though?
I did. I mean, for the most part, it was like, I don't know, man. I'm not good at weekends where I have time off, but I don't have, like, I have things I have to do. Like, there was a reason I was off last Thursday, right? It was for something for my kid. So, and then Friday, you and I had planned weeks and weeks and weeks ago, because we've learned a valuable lesson that
Drew said we're not about that grind, though. I got a couple texts from
not
people.
Not about that grind?
Yeah, that was something Drew said.
Wow.
I got a text from...
Okay.
I know. I had multiple people text me and said, yeah, Drew said that you and Cody are not about that grind, that everybody else was there on Friday. I go, oh, interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Wait, what?
Yep.
I can't believe that, Drew.
I know. I was stunned to hear that.
Unbelievable.
Hold on a second. I need context. What did you guys just say?
Oh, you didn't have your headphones on.
I did not have the headset on. I totally missed it.
Someone said, you said we're not about that grind. You were accusing us of
on
being
Friday.
Lazy.
Is that true?
That's Bink and I were talking about. I don't even remember what the context was. It was like rising grind or something along those lines. And I was like, I mean, I'm here. Bob and Dusty are here. Carrington and Rob are here. I don't know where Golden Cody are, because everybody was asking where you guys were.
They said, quote, you guys are not about that grind. Some of us are not about that grind. That was the quote.
That was the joke that I gave, and then everybody after that was like, well, Cody has a wife, so Valentine's Day makes sense. Why is Gold taking Valentine's Day off? He's single.
Had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. I can tell you that. Had nothing to
bought
do with
himself some chocolates.
It had nothing to do with Valentine's
Build-A-Bear.
Day.
Build-A-Bear.
Those places are still around, aren't they? Those are still overpriced as ever, I'm guessing.
I would assume so,
yeah.
Yes.
No, I had nothing with Valentine's Day. If anything, I started watching a show that you and everybody's been telling me to watch for, I don't know, the last year, Severance on Apple.
Oh, you've been Severance,
dude,
huh?
Well, I didn't. Five episodes in.
That's a decent binge.
On season one, obviously, I know the new season just came out, so that's basically some of the stuff that I did over the weekend, and then went to the gym. I told you, I've been going to the gym. I didn't go for like a week and a half because the Super Bowl week was busy.
Nuts.
And then, of course, so now I'm very sore because I didn't work out for a week, and so now But it felt good. It feels good when you go.
Take a little extra time.
And I knew I went the last 2 days in a row because I knew I was not going today or tomorrow with the weather. So
I did, I don't know. It was a variety of things to keep myself busy. It felt like a fast few days off. So no, I'm not.
People are saying you and the wife went to a Michelin star restaurant.
Did not go to a Michelin. Are there a Michelin star restaurant in Kansas City?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
I would go to a Michelin star restaurant. I'd like to experience that once in my life. But to this point in my life,
there's a ton in Vegas.
There's a lot in Vegas, and you know, I think we had plans when we were originally going to go to New York last year before my wife had broken her ankle.
Oh Jesus!
We had this whole big plan two years ago. So maybe a different day on that. Meanwhile, over the weekend, our guy, J.J. Pecola, who joins us regularly during the baseball season, we hope to have J.J. on later this week to talk about it as well, got a contract extension for the Royals. And a year ago, had I said this to Royals fans, most of you would have been melting down because the initial hire people weren't a big fan of. Let's just be honest. And they weren't a big fan of because he was the under guy to Dayton Moore, who they were ready to move on from. They were ready to move past, get to a new regime, start fresh. We had told you at the time that JJ didn't think exactly like Dayton. They weren't going to run the same type of organization. But now as we sit today, because they made the postseason last year, because they signed Bobby Witt Jr., and if you're on the other side, I want to know, 913-586-7965. For some reason, you're getting to your location, you're not going to drive the rest of the day, video stream, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. We live stream the show every day. You can still find us. I don't think we'll find many people who will dislike this deal anymore because it makes perfect sense. You get a Royals organization who goes to the playoffs once every blue moon to the playoffs, you get an extension. You get to keep doing your job.
Right. This was always going to happen at some point. I don't know whether it was going to happen before this season or at the end of this season. This was always going to play out. You mentioned the track record of, unfortunately, not a ton of playoff appearances for this organization. And so when you're the GM during that run, for starters, and I think look at the specifically, we'll find out about the draft stuff over the next 3 years, really, because it takes time. But in terms of the big league level, over and over last year, we hit on this, which is the job he and his staff have done evaluating big league talent on other clubs to go and acquire talent.
That's been
pretty incredible. The most notable one is the Cole Reagans deal. We all know that. He also got an extension this past week, and so it was time to give everybody extensions. It was just the way things worked out. We'll talk about
extension
Reagans.
Day.
We'll talk about Reagans in a little bit too later on throughout the day, and his very very team friendly extension, I think. But that was the notable one, the Chapman Reagans. Remember, he had to sign Aroldis Chapman, be willing to make that move, and there was some backlash to it at the time. And then they flipped him for Cole Reagans. Last year, there was the offseason moves, not just the Bobby Witt Jr. extension, the largest contract in Royals history, but it was also going out and getting Lugo and Waka in the way that played out. And Lugo, of course, was an all-star. You go and see midseason when they had bullpen issues, to say the least. Lucas Erceg looks like a great trade. The only one right now trade that they have made where you're like, jury's still out. Hunter Harvey. And we'll see. Let's see what he does fully healthy, hopefully heading into the season. So that's what's been most impressive out of everything he has done to this point as the GM. It's honestly how they've gone about acquiring assets on other big league clubs. And they've hit on them. Just about every single one. Harvey, as I said, jury's still out.
That's what really matters. And Harvey, again, they made it for it. It wasn't a deal for just a single year. It was a deal for multiple years. So we'll see. And you're also, I don't hold anyone responsible, Gold, nor do you, at batting 1,000%. Yeah. I don't think when it comes to being a general manager, you have to be right across the board on every move you make. I just want you to get some big swings right. The big swing right was Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans. And if you're thinking, oh, you know what? Everyone saw Cole Reagans coming. Not true. That's not what the indication was at the time. That's not the sense of what it was at the time. Obviously, we knew that whether or not, because he had the two Tommy John surgeries, there's a lot of teams, including his own team, I'll add, that were not confident in his ability to do it. And so, yeah, I am very impressed with the job that J.J. Pecola has done. Did they have to lock him up till 2031? I don't know. I mean, they could have just waited, I guess,
but
a couple of years if they wanted to.
Stability. Like you
but
do.
Yeah. Now you're telling everyone in baseball that you're safe.
Yeah. This is still a long build. I mean, last year they get to the postseason. This year the expectation is, I think, for a lot of fans, including myself, that the expectation is go win the division, go win the AL Central this year. That's where my expectation is. We'll see if they meet it or not, and that's how I'm going to judge them throughout the entire season. But in general, this is not about a 2-year fix. This is about sustaining success and getting this team to be fairly consistently in the postseason. And to do that, you have to have, to me, the same manager as well. And they did exercise the option on Q, and we can talk about that. And where they're trending, it wouldn't surprise me if things go well this year, if next offseason, right before camp.
Or even like in the middle of the year, right? They're right just before, trying to hedge their bet.
If they make the postseason, it wouldn't surprise me if it gets announced like the day or two before the playoff run starts. I mean, we see that play out sometimes for managers or coaches in any sport, right? Where they're about to have a huge series in the playoffs or a big game in football. They get an extension done. I could see something like that happening. I'm with you. But you do want stability. If you feel like you hit a home run, you feel like you got the right pieces in place from a front office and managerial coaching level, yeah, you want to make sure you lock those guys up, you shows your support behind them. And I think, yeah, the fan base after last season is very much behind the decisions. If you want to complain that they didn't go out and sign your favorite free agent, remember, that is not just there are still financial limitations. That is not just on the management level of an organization. If you're mad they didn't get Anthony Santander, who they tried aggressively to get reportedly and were pretty competitive with an offer, and that they couldn't get to the dollar amount the Blue Jays were offering. Again, that's not a GM issue. That's just there's boundaries, there's budgets. Anybody that manages any company knows that they have a budget to stick to. And considering the budget, which has also gone up, in fairness to John Sherman, this year their payroll's up from a year ago, I think he's done a hell of a job.
I think that there's always the balance of trying to make sure that you've got the pieces in place that make you feel comfortable. But yeah, you're a small market baseball team, which means your job, let's just be honest, JJ's job is harder than being the general manager of the Dodgers. Do you know how easy it is to be the general manager of the Dodgers? Oh, I can just blank check anybody. I can just sign Shohei Ohtani to $1 billion and nobody cares. I can just give anybody any amount of money and none of it impacts my ability to spend money the following year. None of it impacts my ability to spend money at any particular point ever. Like, yeah, I think I'll tell you what. I think I could probably do the job, Gold. I think I'd figure it out. If I had been the Royals general manager, that's a challenge. You have to work under the budget constraints. You have to work under the long-term deal constraints. You have to work under the constraints that are what your organization is thought of nationally until you can prove year in and year out that you are a competitive ball club worthy of being a member of yearly. Nobody wonders if they're going to the Dodgers whether or not they're a part of a functional baseball team. JJ had to re-alter people's thinking on the Royals after a near decade of playoff irrelevancy.
I think this text from the 913 is fair. They said, quote, I'm 100% willing to say I was wrong about JJ. However, the initial criticism was warranted. The Royals organization was a mess, and they had been losers for years. Wanting an outside hire at GM was a fair ask at the time. I think that's a fair way to look at it. If you know, now that you can go through and admit that it's turned out to be a great hire, at the time people were really skeptical, and I think it was understanding at the time because you're like, wait, this organization hadn't done anything since 2015, really. 2016 was a competitive year, but they hadn't done anything in postseason-wise since then. And then they promote somebody from within the organization. I don't think the skepticism wasn't warranted at the time, but as this texter admits, I don't know how you're not 100% on board with what they're doing now.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, it's okay. Like, we talk about this all the time. You and I both admit this all the time. I'd be more than happy to admit when I'm wrong on a player because that means usually when I'm wrong, normally, well, not more than happy. Occasionally you're like, this person's a star. And it goes the other way. Like when I said Mondesi was going to be an MVP candidate. Didn't.
Where's he at these days?
I was not happy to be
still
wrong
with the Boston Red Sox organization or no?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Hadn't thought about him in a while.
I was going to say, that was a name I hadn't said very often.
Well, it's just an easy way to admit when you're wrong, you know? But when you start looking at the different cases to go in there.
He's a free agent. Sorry.
I just wonder whether or not, yeah. And I just wonder whether or not we look at these players like, I'm happy to be wrong. Like, it's okay to be wrong about JJ Piccolo and whether or not you thought it was going to work out and they would be this thing. Anytime you look at these things, I will tell you that's one kind of important thing as it relates to like promoting from within after somebody gets fired. Most of us do not think like our boss. If Gold was put in charge of 96.5 The Fan tomorrow, he wouldn't necessarily do things exactly the way Spector. I mean, he just tear it all up and pretend like it's a completely different company. Not take the things that he didn't like about those things, but there are things you would do different. Things
no,
I would do different.
Personally, Cody, I actually think I would have done everything. Exactly. I think he's doing an incredible job.
I would do
everything the exact same way because I think he's just doing such
you
a great
think he's
job.
He's listening at home right now. That's what this is. Play some kissing sound effects, Skull.
I just did that for you. I knew Cody would like that. I knew Cody would enjoy
okay,
that.
Okay, I see how this is. Yeah. I'm going to secretly record you, play stuff. Could you imagine? My God. No, but I, you know, like, I don't know that there's anyone left, and there really shouldn't be anyone left, who doesn't like this move for the Royals. It fits. It fits what they asked to do. It fits regularly what they asked to do, and now they're winning as a result of it. Normally, when you win, you get a contract extension, so I'm happy with it.
There it is.
God, that is actually a
rip. That was strong. Strong. That was really strong.
Say some nice things about Speck again. He'll play that over and over again in the background.
A reminder that Vern is going to be in Surprise, Arizona. We'll start our daily conversations throughout spring training with Vern tomorrow, I believe, is when we'll pick those up and be plenty to discuss with Vern as full squad start up and everything out there. And before we know it, spring training games. Reminder, this Friday, first spring training game right here on 96.5 The Fan. I believe it's a 2:00 start this coming Friday. Here on the station, so that'll be nice to hear the
Royals
crack of the bat, man.
This,
especially with the weather we're having on Friday, it'll be nice to hear some baseball. It'll feel a little weird at first when you look outside, but it'll be nice to if you're listening on your radio in your car.
I actually think we should like make a pitch right now to be like, you know what, we changed our mind. Can we go to spring training like today?
Pack up our bags and go.
Yeah, we want to. Will the company pay for it so we can get down to Arizona to watch a baseball game on Friday?
That's a no.
Because I don't want to be in this weather anymore. I can't take any more winter, man. I'll just be honest. I'm done.
This has been a bad one. This has been a bad one. I mean, we're all from here, but this one's been annoying. Especially, today's not even that bad yet. It's the temperatures are going to get so much worse than what we're dealing with today. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs briefly, though, and pivot away from the Royals briefly. Because the weekend was kind of interesting. Like you said you weren't on social media a ton this weekend, but I checked it a little bit and some of the conversations and some of the quotes that were coming out. I know Friday, Drew, you and Bink, I think you said, we're talking about some of the pieces that people were putting out from quotes before the Super Bowl about coaches and how they were feeling the pressure or not feeling the pressure and things like that. One thing that maybe stood out more, and Arrowhead Pride did a write-up on this, which is about the fatigue factor. And we all know they've played more games than everybody over the last... I mean, Travis Kelce last week spoke about it, even on his podcast in relation to retirement. But was that something we should have acknowledged more? Or was it, hey, we all thought... at that time, for me, Cody, they had barely played any football the last month and a half because they were able to rest in week 18. And they had the bye, and then, of course, they played the Texans and Bills, and they had another 2 weeks before the next game. I just assumed fatigue wasn't that big of a factor. And I still don't know if I'm willing to admit that fatigue. They looked like the slower, worn-out team, against the Eagles. But I just wonder if that
I could just see that team has more speed.
Well, that and then once you're down 17-0 and nothing's working.
You start looking slow.
Yeah.
Your motivation looks worse. And, I'm not going to pretend like... that some portion of it wasn't just like the pressure of a three-peat. Because we always just like, I don't know, man. Did the pressure of a three-peat really get to you? I don't know, man. When you're in the actual Super Bowl and all of a sudden you see yourself down 14-0 or 20-0, do all of a sudden you start thinking about how you blew your chance at a three-peat and everything unravels? Yeah, I do. I do think that's a real thing. The comments that got really blown up were the Joe Blamire ones where he's like, he's an all-time great, and you got to think about that when you're calling games, and then people turned it into this version of, well, he's scared money, right? Scared money, don't make money, and
that
it was this
was
whole...
bizarre. The way that took off on, I guess it was Friday, I took the quotes more as of...
responsibility.
While in a losing effort... you can spin it and make it seem different. But in what I feel like the context of it was saying, you have a chance to coach a great like Mahomes. Yeah. You feel pressure making sure you give them the tools to succeed. Right. I would argue. I've heard comments similar even on the Royals and with Bobby Wood Jr. Like you feel like you don't want to waste this talent. I feel like we've heard that stuff time and time again, but because it was after a blowout loss, these quotes that are out there from Blamire, people are taking it as if like he was coaching scared. I didn't take it that way. I think they feel like most coaches, if you coach LeBron, I bet you felt pressure. MJ, Brady, you feel pressure to make sure that you take advantage of having the greatest player on earth at that given moment. That's how I took it. And that's understandable, right? Like you got the keys to the Lamborghini. You want to make sure you take advantage of that. Like Cody's not going cruise control, you know, when it's 35 miles an hour.
No, not typically in that case. We'll see. But you want them, like, I guess I took it more like Uncle Ben in Spider-Man, right? Hey, with great power comes great responsibility. And so they all understand, we have an all-time great quarterback. Let's maximize what we can get out of him. they were fatigued and they were too tired and they ran out of gas. I would have honestly bought into that had they lost in the first round of the playoffs, missed the playoffs, lost in the divisional round, where, like, you could see steam running out. If you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, you don't get a claim tired. If you played a full season last year and won a Super Bowl, played a full season the year before, won a Super Bowl, you got all the way to the Super Bowl this year, you can't be, but now I'm tired. In the final game of the year, the fatigue stuff, I think, is probably, like, do I think that they're, like, tired of the pomp and circumstance that goes around the game, and sometimes that gets old and tiring? Yeah. Do I think that they were more tired than the Eagles? No. I think by the time you get to the Super Bowl and you get 2 weeks off, you were healthy. We talked about this. They got to rest the final month of the season, essentially. They got plenty of time off. Fatigue was not the issue. The playing with the coach, this goes back to the thing. I'm not mad at the Blamire comments in the sense that I'm ready to bury the guy. Like, they don't have any idea what they're doing as an organization. But this is part of the reason I told you I wanted just, like, a fresh voice in there. And not that, like, the intimidation factor or those things. Because if I bring in some 25-year-old off Mike McDaniel staff just because I want a fresh voice on offense, doesn't mean he's not going to be intimidated by Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL. I just want a fresh voice in the sense that I think some of the tired ideas of, well, we're trying everything to make this work right now because we understand how great he is. Hey, you just probably need a fresh voice. It's more about that for me than anything else. Not firing Blamire, bringing in somebody else to look at it from a different perspective.
I guess for me, though, so many of the offensive issues, I still think go back to the limitations off of personnel. And by personnel, I'm talking about left tackle. I'm talking about still a wide receiver room that was old. I understand we're all excited about Xavier Worthy. Yeah. We should be. But Rashee Rice, we all know, was out since week four, middle of the game there against the Chargers. And then they were relying on Juju Smith-Schuster. And to his credit, he had one huge game against the Saints. But and then the Texans to open it up. But you're relying on Juju Smith-Schuster and DeAndre Hopkins and some, in, you know, at times even Justin Watson. Like, Travis Kelce at this point in his career, you know, he's what, 34 years old? I mean, you were old in some areas and you had bad left tackle play. And your all-pro guard was playing tackle, so therefore left guard play was below average. I mean, I feel like a lot of this is very explainable. It's just, it's pretty impressive that they were even able to go to 15-2, really 15-1, during the regular season. That to me was a big reason why they had some of the issues. I still, and I know you weren't saying it there, but, like, I disagree with the entire context of the comments that everybody was kind of going after on Friday. I still don't believe that that's what the comments were intended to be. And I think it's very easy after a blowout loss for someone to just tweet out a quote without any context to, like, what was, as you know, if you're at these media events, especially in the Super Bowl, it's a media scrum or they're at the podium and you're working on a story and you're just getting, like, big picture thoughts and things like that. And I'm sure Blamire or any other coach would be like, if they're asked, hey, do you feel pressure to coach Patrick Mahomes? And it's not like, yeah, man, I'm terrified. My job's in jeopardy. And
every day I'm worried I'm going to get fired. And just
I'm nervous to call plays. People are acting like that's what he said. I don't believe, to my knowledge, that's at all what the context was.
He said he understands the responsibility of coaching a player.
Like any coach would, I hope.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we could have, if we had five different former coaches call in today and any of them coached, were fortunate enough to coach a Hall of Famer or a great or anybody like that, I would imagine they would all feel like there was pressure to make sure you took advantage of having said player. Not that they were scared of Tom Brady. I'm sure, yeah. Even your favorite guy, Josh McDaniels, I'm sure was like, yeah.
No, probably not him. He's an arrogant ass. But everyone
else. You want to take advantage of having. Hell, he did take advantage. He got coaching jobs because of it. You know, like that to me is what it's about. Not the, oh my gosh, he's panicking because he has to call plays for Patrick Mahomes. This is crazy.
I didn't take it that way either. How's the snow coming back there? Can you see? It hasn't really started yet.
We've got a bunch of smoke off our building from the heat. Oh, it is snowing. There we go.
My kids can't even take it anymore. I want you to know that my kids have been out of school so much that they're tired of it. Last night when I got the email, and yeah, we get emails from the school district like 5 p.m. So like last night at like 5 p.m. when it's already clear that the school's going to be closed the next day, mm-hmm. and which means probably not going to school tomorrow. Who knows about Thursday, et cetera, et cetera. As we start getting those emails, I genuinely had to ask myself the question last night. Are my kids ever going back to school? My daughter audibly groaned when I told her. So I'm like, hey, no school tomorrow. They snow. She went, when are we going back? They made Valentine's for their classmates on Wednesday night to take in on Thursday. They still haven't even delivered them to the kids. My kid tried to show his one. Obviously, Desmond worked extra hard on the girl who he likes in class.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. So he works extra hard on this Valentine. He puts these extra stickers on it and stuff. He put, I love you on it. And so I see him filling out the rest of the Valentines. And I'm like, look at this kid. He put, I love you and the girl's name on there. He put forever, but it was foeva. It was F-O-E-V-R, foeva, on his Valentine. Because he's just trying to spell it himself. On every other Valentine he wrote for the other kids in class, he put, I like you. He straight up reserved it for the other. So, are my kids ever going back to school?
It's crazy. I have family members that are. I have a family member that's a teacher as well, and I'm like, and you, if you're a teacher, you get like actual snow day because you're not. Most of these schools aren't doing virtual because it just doesn't work, and it's tough on the parents to be able to do that. I don't know. Like, if you're a parent that works at home, how are you getting any work done? Your kids are at home all the time, and then there's probably like a much deeper, real conversation, which is like, how are these kids actually keeping up and learning enough if they're not even going to school? Like, that's a much deeper conversation. You're a parent,
learning
not
stuff
me,
on the streets,
but like,
man.
But it's kind
of
crazy.
Hard knocks for my kids now.
I mean, some of these same kids were the kids that missed all this time and dealt with all like the because of COVID in 2020 as well. So I'm just wondering, how the heck are they not
behind
on stuff?
They're going to be in school in the middle of June.
Yeah, like what? I thought that was a thing. Has any school district actually done that yet? Because otherwise, they're going to be going to school till June 5th.
So we already got the emails that said, so they've now had two traditional snow days that are full canceled on days that they have to make up to the state in order to, like, but they're essentially like, we don't know how we're making them up yet. So, like, they have teacher planning days where they might be off.
This is in Missouri.
They might have, like, a Friday off typically for, like, a teacher planning day. Like, last Friday was a planned day off for school, is, like, a teacher development day that they do, like, once a month or off on a Friday. They'll probably just teach those the rest of the way, is my guess, to make up the days. Rather than, technically, they could just add them on to the back end of the school year. My guess is they won't do that. We'll see.
Unless they have to.
Like, bless my wife, who is probably like, if you're the work from home parent, this is a much harder time for you. Like, if you're the, like, because my wife goes to the office, but doesn't have to go to the office every day. And, you know, fortunately for her, job has some flexibility. So, like, I can be here most of the time. Doesn't work that way all the time, but it's getting out of hand. I can't believe you haven't been asked to watch like a nephew or something for like a few hours just for like a
I'm at work.
One of your sisters to get your day? Like in the afternoon just to get some sanity back.
Well, a lot
of it
is
at some point you start looking for like sitters just to like get a couple of hours.
A lot of it is though. Again, my twin sister is a teacher. And so she's been off. So she's got over at times to help out because my nephews actually go to the same school she teaches at too. So
she's still having to teach with just your nephews.
So she's not teaching at home, but she's hanging out or whatever. And she'll watch them because if you work from home, I don't know how the heck you're supposed to get any work done when you got two or three kids.
You should have
sister, you know.
Yeah.
On a day where you actually have to watch Desmond and Ruby, Cody, you need to bring them in and they can join on air like you tweeted out.
If they're off on Friday, we'll bring them into.
Why not?
They'll come in for the fan club. Or Club 965, and we'll serve Shirley Temples for the kids. Because like, at some point, like they're going to need to get out of the house. They can come in for the fan club.
Someone says, in Blue Springs, where they work, they used all five of their virtual learning days. Everything from here on out is a snow day that has to be made up.
That's where we are, too, in our district.
Now, hopefully, this is the last week. I'm sure you guys have looked ahead to the forecast, and next Monday is like 55, and I can't wait. I can't wait for that. And hopefully, this is it. But, yeah, we got to get through the next 3 days. It's going to be brutally cold. Stay safe out there. Up next, though, let's talk about some more noise that is out there in regards to college basketball. You know I've been against this, but maybe there's a compromise for us all.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Explain what that is next. Cody and Gold back here on your home for Kansas City Sports 96.5 The Fan. So more and more attention now focusing on college basketball, slowly but surely, with football in the rearview mirror. Although, as we know, the NFL is king year round, man. Whether we're talking rumors or not, the NFL will get everybody's attention. But we're getting closer to Selection Sunday. This past Saturday, they put out their committee's top 16 teams. If they were to do the bracket today or at that point on Saturday. That was out there. We know the Big 12 tournament here in Kansas City at T-Mobile Center is a couple weeks away. Drew, I think you're going. You got a credential for that, right? So you're going to be going to that, and that's always a fun event. Hopefully the weather cooperates, because when it's great weather right across the street, it's awesome when you get all the fan bases. Yeah. And once again, there's some new fan bases, too, with Arizona and Arizona State and BYU part of the...
Kansas was on that list for top 16 seeds.
They were.
They lost on Saturday.
We're going to get to that and K-State as well as KU and Missouri coming up a little bit later on. But I wanted to talk about the tournament and where it's headed. You guys know for forever, really, I've been very much anti-tournament expansion. I like where we're at, 68 teams. And I know it's been a very long time since they expanded. In fact, this would be, if they expand even to 76 teams, which is where everybody's talking about now, that would be the largest expansion since 1985. I'm very much against expanding to like 96 in this, because I've told you we're just going to see way more of the 10th rated or 11th rated team in the Power 5, Power 4 conference than we are to see mid-majors, which I still think, yes, as the tournament progresses, I want to see the best teams. But the opening weekend, what makes it great is the upsets. In order for there to be those upsets, I need the random team from the Southland Conference that upsets the team from the Big 12. Like, I need that kind of thing. 76, Well, I don't like expansion. I can stomach it. You can get me on board with that one. And that's the latest. Pete Thamel was on College Game Day Saturday, and he said that's where this is heading.
It's no tangible difference from a viewership perspective. It's, he said
the NCAA has been working with media partners, and in the next few months, they could decide whether to expand to 76 teams. How it would work is, we all know right now they have the first four in Dayton, which has become more popular in the way they, it's not just the opening round games. It's become, all right, well, why not? And it's been very good for Dayton. The thought would be you'd go to 76, and then they would add an additional site like a Dayton-type
site.
Kansas
City, by the way, should beg. Well,
they'll be one of many cities.
Beg to be that city every year, every year.
But typically, if they compare it to the Dayton site, that Kansas City's already getting regional sites. And you know,
27 is the next one. Yeah, 2027
I wonder if this site, and it could be different, but because there will be a bidding process. They said it will be outside the Eastern time zone, because for they don't want in the Eastern time zone due to travel for the teams that have to get on a flight and quickly go somewhere else. They want them as far further west if possible. So this is where your Omaha's, your Wichita's, your Tulsa's, your Denver's, I even think, like have a better chance at getting it, and maybe even further west because of time zone. But I don't like expanding, but at least at 76, it's hard for me to be too upset. But it's going to be all Power Four teams. There's only, you know, the what, yeah, do you know what the last at large bid from a non-major conference was? At large, not winning your conference.
Like when the last conference that had two bids,
basically, that wasn't a power conference.
There was one like a decade ago of a team FAU. That was pretty much okay. I was undefeated. Say,
FAU,
and they had a run.
FAU, and then prior to that, it was like 2 years before. The point is, non-power four, power five are not getting at large bids anymore. Like there used to be at all. This is not just like, hey, UMKC has to win their league to get in. I understand why the Summit League only has one bid. I get it. But I'm talking about even some of these smaller conferences now with realignment and expansion, all this, you don't have that large bids happening. So 76 teams, okay, so we're going to add eight more power conferences or power teams, I guess?
I don't know if it's necessarily all power, because I don't know if you just take, hey, Joe Lenardi or Jerry
Palm.
Not Palm
enough teams to start getting
four,
two bid teams out of the bad conference.
So if you look at the first four out and the next four out, you would assume those would be the eight teams that would be included.
Yes.
In that.
Yes.
So you would have VCU, Georgia, SMU, North Carolina, IU, Xavier, K-State would be in, and UC Irvine. So you get six out of the eight. It would be more power, of course, but but you might get one thrown
one
in
extra,
there.
One extra.
That K-State one, was that before they lost two in a row?
Yes.
This is as of the...
last night, Lenardi put one out before the K-State game ended had them as the next eight out or whatever.
It is
the
updated today. Okay. It's updated this morning, and Lenardi still has them in the next four out.
Wow.
It was updated at 7:30 this morning.
I mean, they lost to a ranked team on the road, but still, I just didn't think they had any...
Okay. He still got them in the next four out.
I didn't think they had any wiggle room left.
They won't make it this year, but theoretically, a 76, you know, they might make it in. But you can also argue, no offense to K-State, Do they really deserve to be in the NCAA tournament with the season that they've had? Like, let's say they go 18-13 or whatever, and they win one game in the Big 12 tournament. Do they actually belong in? Because it just seems like you're giving out more participation trophies. They don't belong in.
Here's the thing. Do 64 teams belong in? Have you watched college basketball? We're splitting hairs here. I'll just tell you right now. That 64th team stinks, too. They're mediocre as hell. No more or less mediocre than the 74th ranked team. They all stink.
If we're talking power conference opponents, then I think maybe. But if you look at all, I don't know how many conferences exactly there are, but as soon as you get down to it, if you're adding 76 and you're looking at, instead of spots 1-4 or spots 1-5, you're all of a sudden getting into six, and you're getting into the bottom half of the conference by doing it. Where I think if you finish in the top five or top six in the ACC, or particularly the SEC this year, or the Big 12, then I think you have more of a, you deserve to be in the conversation a little bit more.
I know that this is outside the thinking. I guess I don't have a problem with expansion in college. I wouldn't care if they went to 96, because I view college sports different than the pros. In the pros, there's a certain percentage of the league that gets in. You're at a higher level, 50% of the league gets into the playoffs. Hell, I didn't think they needed to add a new playoff team to the NFL standard. And based on the number of seven seeds who have won, it ain't changing the math at all.
But you were anti-MLB expansion, and that's a big reason why the Royals got into the playoffs last year.
And that's, they technically would have, they weren't the last seed, right? So they would have still made it, but barely, based on that. But it gives them a better chance to make it, certainly. I think around 50% for the pro leagues is about right. And you get mediocrity at that point, too, even, right?
Sure.
Because baseball was doing less percentage of theirs. This isn't even 50% of college basketball. Why do less college basketball teams? This is their only chance to play it. It's a collegiate sport. It's a giant tournament where we already put a billion teams in. For me, there's no difference between 64 and 96. The mediocrity that exists in the sport already is. They're amateur athletes who probably won't get to play pro anyway. Let them play in
How long would the tournament I'm just curious. So, how long would the tournament end up being?
So this is, I'm glad, that's exactly the direction that I wanted to go down for a couple things. And I get your point, but Cody, but the tricky part is, one, what Drew was about to allude to, which is how long does the tournament go? Then there's the other part, when does it stop? Like, we all know, even if they go to 76, I'm not naive enough to think that once they go to 76, that in 6 years they're not going to ask for 96 or something. Like, this is just how this stuff. The NFL, they get 17 games, they want 20 in 15 years. Like, we know how this is going to go.
When do we draw the line?
Like, let's say there's 340 teams in college basketball. I don't know what the exact
number is. There's 368, I think.
Something.
So a third will get in.
When do we stop? It's like when 200 of them get in, when 140. Like, I know I'm taking
half,
it to
right?
the extreme,
like the
but like...
Well, we can say the same thing about the NFL. Why don't we just let 70% of the league into the playoffs, you know? Like, right now, they're at 33%. They're not even at 33%. That would be if they let 96 teams in.
I know, Cody, but we're not going to put 180 teams in the tournament and just say, hey, this is the NCAA tournament. That would be, you would have.
But I'm just saying there's not a, I'm not asking for 180 either. And I understand you're saying, where do you draw the line?
Sure.
I don't, 96 if you won. But I'm just saying it can be more than 68. Like 68, like, that's a invisible, that's an imaginary line that I think represents a very small portion of it. And if you're just saying, well, it's going to be more mediocre big conference teams, I'd say, yeah, that's what the other sports do too. We just don't care because it's less, it's a smaller
what
number.
What makes the first 2 days of the tournament great though are not the ninth best team in the Big Ten getting in. It's the fact that the top four team in the Big 12 or Big 10 lose to the mid-major, right? That's now as the tournament progresses, I just want the best teams. Like, you know, in the Final Four, it's fun to have Cinderella get there, but typically I do want, like, let's just be real. This was the Zion Williamson year with Duke, but like this year, Cooper Flagg for college basketball, as much as I hate Duke, Cooper Flagg being in the Final Four is really good for college basketball. Is we all like the upsets the opening weekend, but having, I don't know, I'll just pick on Davidson because that was a team that went on a run. Like, they had Steph Curry, so that became, Steph Curry wasn't Steph Curry at that point in time, though, right?
St. Peter's, same thing.
Sure. The kid from Oakland, I already forgot his name, that beat Kentucky, that hit all those threes.
Golkey.
That was fun for a little while. I didn't need Oakland in the Final Four, though. You know, it was cool story for a couple games, and then get the hell out of there, man. Let me go.
That was
crazy. Golkey.
Just like
whatever.
A wreck league. No player's ever felt more wreck league just like getting shots
but
in my life.
He could not miss. It was incredible.
Yeah, I love that about the
there will be another player like that. That's why we love the tournament. We all know. We don't know who the guy, like, again, I already forgot his name, but
couldn't that guy be on a 16-14 Florida State team?
I mean, the example
looking
for.
Couldn't that just like, couldn't some player for Kansas State just like go off and go nuts and hit 10 threes? And we'd like them like Golkey. Do they have to come
It won't have
from,
the same vibe, I don't think. It won't I'm have the
curious.
Same vibe.
Okay.
Now, what you're describing is like NC State last year. They were not a good basketball team. They got in controversially. People thought their resume, they got in and they went on a run to the Final Four, right? And then now they're back to being crappy again this year. But like, so what you just described would be like an NC State team. And that, like a bad Power 5 conference team getting in that probably shouldn't be in, but then they went on a run and like, it was a great story, but
expanding the tournament doesn't it devalues everything that you do. You might as well not even play any. You might as well not play any college basketball from November until January if you're going to just expand the tournament that much. Because what you do, because we're never going to talk. I know we don't talk about it much now, anyways. But you losing Kansas going on as hot of a Kansas. Honestly, if we looked at their resume, they started out well, obviously, but they've stunk as of late. If we were going off of what your resume has been recently. Kansas wouldn't even be a 5 seed or whatever they might be now. They might even be lower than that.
For sure.
I think you take the significance out of what you do the entire season if you're just expanding the tournament where if you're K-State, like, we're going to completely ignore that you stunk in the first 2 months of the season, but hey, you got hot late, so we're going to throw you in there. And I think it devalues the entire picture of your resume of who really belongs in the tournament, and instead you're just putting everybody in and you have more chaos potentially, I guess, like with NC State, but they don't deserve to be in more than there's just too many teams. They just don't belong in a tournament to win a national title.
I know we can move on to other things, but this is what you're describing is a broader American sports problem. And I think you are making it just about college basketball where this exists across
everywhere. Yeah.
Across the world. people don't like our system because it does not have the best team winning. Sorry, our system does not have the best team winning the championship every time. Sometimes the best
team
wins the championship.
Well, there's no greater example of that than the NCAA tournament.
But yeah,
I mean, NC
State was not one of the four best teams in the country.
Right.
And they got to be one of the four best teams because in American sports, we support tournament style play. So whether you think they deserve to be in the tournament, that's silly. Mostly to just say you shouldn't have a tournament at all. It should just be the team who was the best.
But if you have 35 games to prove it, though,
you got 162 in baseball and I still let bad teams in. I still let bad teams in football. I give them 16. Now that's less, sure. But like, I mean, that's just the way American sports are designed. They're designed around the tournament. I don't have a problem with it because that's how I consume sports.
I think the problem with college compared to pro is pro, you have the system set. College, you're letting human beings decide things. Like you're coming up with rankings where if we're doing MLB rankings, the teams that make the playoffs might be totally different than what actually ends up happening. If we did NFL power rankings, we would not have the same 14 teams in the playoffs that we did this past season. I think that's where the difference is with the college stuff is if you're letting athletic directors who are paying attention to big brands and stuff, you're going to have some schools that deserve to make it way more not make it because they like the bigger brands more.
We'll hear more about this
as we
get closer to the NCAA tournament. And during the tournament, this will become more and more of a story. It sure seems like it's trending to expansion of 76 teams in the NCAA tournament field. But Selection Sunday will be here before you know. I want to go back to the NFL, though, because while the league year doesn't start till March 14th, we're getting more and more rumors, speculation about where certain players can land, not just with quarterbacks, but one of the best wide receivers over the last decade or so, even if you don't think he is that still because he's about to turn 33 years old. I'm talking about Devontae Adams. Sports Illustrated had a piece out yesterday suggesting that Devontae Adams is, quote, intrigued by the LA Chargers. Remember, he was acquired midseason by the Jets for a third round pick, I think it was, because Aaron Rodgers wanted his money.
They screwed up their season so bad.
The destruction left post Aaron Rodgers is pretty damning for the Jets organization. So he's not going to be a member of the Jets next year. We know that. Could the Chargers be his destination? I mean, if you're the Chargers, Herbert McConkey with Devontae Adams is definitely the case. I don't know about you, though. Devontae Adams at this point, I'm not saying he's a bad wide receiver, but he's up there and he is not the same guy he was 5 years ago or anything like that. So it doesn't really it's a nice piece. He's not a long-term answer. He's not a top five wide receiver anymore in this league. He hadn't been that in a couple of years. So that's fine. Like Devontae Adams and the Chargers, that's not something that suddenly I'm going to be terrified of if I'm the Chiefs.
It scared me a little. I mean, Justin Herbert
was on the Raiders for all those years.
Yeah, but I mean, they had nobody a quarterback. It's not about the proximity thing because the entire time he was on the Raiders, who the hell were their quarterbacks? Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew and Derek Carr for probably a portion of it, right? That was why he was interested in the Raiders initially. So
how about Devontae Adams? This is where, you know what? Like, I get you want to play with your best buddy, but the two times you tried to go play with your best friend,
poorly.
It screwed up your career a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, because over the last, and I'll say last year, he still had 1,144 yards and 8 touchdowns. In 2022, he had 1,514. This year was the bad year where he had 850 and 7 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers didn't play a decent portion of the season and stunk when he was available to play. I actually think Devontae Adams is still probably a top 20 wide receiver in the NFL. The only thing to not support it is this season in which he was still a 900-yard, 7-touchdown receiver and had no quarterback play, no semblance of a decent team, complete mess of an organization. I would be scared of that matchup of Devontae Adams for a year and Ladd McConkey for a year, where I do think, depending on their running back situation or their offensive line situation, which they improved this year, I'd make them one of the more dangerous offenses in the league. Am I going to quake in fear of any team's decision in the league? No. 3 years ago, we did this. Every single team in the division went after a defensive end, pass rusher. They all targeted the same guy. We're coming after Mahomes. We're going to get your ass. You're in trouble. My hope is that if he signs with a team like the Chargers, is that they overpay him. Because that's the mistake these division teams have been making. In an effort to clean up or to catch up, they overpay these older players like Von Miller in Buffalo and get themselves in trouble. That's what I'm rooting for.
There's a couple teams that I think have the money to go fix their receiver room. Like I know here in Kansas City, we talk about wouldn't mind going and getting one. But I'm talking about having some of the most cap space in the league. The Chargers are there. The Patriots are there. And the Commanders are there. Between Devontae Adams and T. Higgins, I still think ultimately they land across one of those three teams. Like the T. Higgins to Chargers thing would obviously be more of a threat, in my opinion, than Devontae Adams, believe it or not, going to the Chargers for 1 year or 2 years or something like that.
T. Higgins is a younger receiver, more runway.
And he's going to cost you a ton more. I just, someone says, would you rather have Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins? Well, Devontae Adams, yeah. Devontae Adams, yeah. I mean, we watched DeAndre Hopkins this year. I don't think he's going to retire or anything, but Devontae Adams is a better wide receiver, absolutely, at this point in time.
By a pretty significant margin at this time. I know they're similar in age, but 33, here's the only problem with Adams, if I were the Chargers. 33, that's about the death nail for wide receivers.
And in fairness, he doesn't turn 33 till December, so most of the season will be 32.
But like the way we talk about running backs at 26 or 27, 33 is about the time where you should probably stop counting on your wide receiver to be as productive as he was. And his production technically has slipped each of the last 3 years, but under Derek Carr, he's 1,414 touchdowns or whatever. Under bad quarterbacks, he was still almost 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. And this year, it was abysmal, and he still had some production. And so, like, part of me is like, I don't know if he's just washed or if his just situation got way worse really fast. If I were him, I'd be looking for a winner. Like, it's the same thing as DeAndre Hopkins. You want to go into the Hall of Fame without anybody questioning what your accolades were in the league? Go get a ring somewhere. Go be a contributor for the Buffalo Bills. Go be a contributor for, I mean, I don't think she's
going to, you should go to an NFC team then.
Go to an NFC. Yeah. Go be Jaden Daniels guy. Cause the Commanders are going to be on everyone's list of, if there's a defensive end or an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, your name's immediately going to get linked to the Commanders because they both, A, have the money, and two, are ready to compete now.
They'll just be an interesting team all year because the question for the Commanders will just be, are they taking the leap or are they going to be the Texans and they actually take a step back? But that'll be the big question.
Everybody thought,
like, the Commanders, even though Jaden Daniels had a better rookie season, they're in a similar spot to what the Texans were in a year ago, where everybody loved them. Everybody was talking, Jaden Daniels will be a popular MVP pick next year. All this, which way do they go? Do they build off of it, or do they regress due to variety of factors, which is what happened in the Houston Texans? Something to keep an eye on. This weekend we started the show, I was asking what you guys did. I watched something I never thought I would have watched, and this is a credit to one league figuring out how to solve the issue of what has become a waste of time for the casual sports fan, which is All-Star Weekends, whether we're talking Pro Bowl Weekend, whether we're talking about NBA All-Star Weekend, which was this weekend, or in the past, NHL All-Star Weekend. The NHL said, you know what, screw it. We're done with the NHL All-Star Game.
Yeah.
We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do Four Nations Face-Off. We're going to have USA and Canada, potentially now, they're going to play two, Matt. They're going to end up playing two because they advanced out of the little mini tournament they were doing. They're going to play Thursday in Boston, which is going to be a pretty cool scene. But this was a quick deal. Finland was involved as well. As well as Sweden, and they played country versus country, but with NHL players, and it was incredible. And I'm the most casual of casual. This is who they should be trying to attract.
But it was like World Cup stuff. It felt like they cared to beat the other country.
Something was on the line, and they clearly cared because 9 seconds into the hockey game, USA-Canada, there were three fights.
Yeah.
Three, as a casual hockey like viewer, that's you got to get me in, not the diehard.
Like, they don't like each
the
other.
The diehard hockey guy is going to watch everything hockey. The diehard NBA guy is going to watch the NBA All-Star Weekend no matter what. You need the casual fan, and the discrepancy between the NHL game and the way they did their All-Star Weekend and what the NBA did, night and day. And I don't know if the ratings will show that or not, but it wasn't even close to what I don't know what the hell the NBA was trying to do this weekend.
I didn't even try to watch it. Well, they were like playing to 40.
It was bizarre. They did this weird thing, and someone did the math on it. 3 hours of coverage, only 45 minutes of actual gameplay on Sunday in the NBA. So,
did they just like chuck a blazer in the middle of it? I was confused because I saw little parts of the NBA one. I'll be honest, because I was like bored over the weekend.
The hockey, Nations Face-Off was awesome. I watched the whole USA Canada match, and I'm going to watch on Thursday night for the championship in Boston. That crowd's going to be rowdy because you got some tension. You had the fight immediately. You got the Canadians booing the U.S. national anthem. Then out to go back to Boston. So, you know, I mean, it's going to have some real hate, and that adds, you need that sometimes in sports. And I was really entertained by it, man. I never thought I would have watched a middle of February NHL game or whatever this was, international game.
Like,
you know?
If you watch the final, like the championship match of the All-Star game, they won by 17 on a dunk that nobody even tried to play any defense on, and Wimby just like threw his hands in the air like, what are we even doing? Are we even trying here? We can give it, like, because again, even in a game to 40 in which there are teams, you can watch the NBA All-Star game and realize that no one is trying. There is not an ounce of effort that exists inside.
Nobody will do the dunk contest. So like, they got this Max McClung kid that's unbelievable at dunking the ball. He can't get out of the G League, and he's made more money off the dunk contest than his entire career.
From three in a row.
Yeah, three straight.
But like, you've got the reason why the hockey one is great is because you think they care. This is why they got rid of the Pro Bowl. You watch the Pro Bowl and you're like, no one's hitting, no one's tackling. This isn't football. I know what football looks like. This isn't it. I watched NHL All-Star Hockey and I'm like, this is hockey. This is hockey under any other circumstance. I don't know that can be recreated in any sport, because in the NFL, you can't risk your body for it. I know in the NHL you should, but you shouldn't either, but like, you can't. And in baseball, I thought it used to matter more when they had something on the line.
Well, the World Baseball Classic is kind of but that doesn't fall during All-Star break, you know, but that's what baseball has, is the World Baseball Classic. That's gotten better in recent years when they've done it. The NBA, yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I actually kind of agree with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a comment. He said, look, everybody's just spending so much time bitching about All-Star weekend. Why don't we just take it away for a couple of years and just see what happens? Like,
he's fine with me. I won't miss it. Like,
I don't. Adam Silver's obsessed with these play-in tournaments and these All-Star randomness. They had your guy, Mr. Beast, out there doing a contest in the middle of the game. It's just so gimmicky. I don't know, man. I thought
NHL. Get the kids involved.
Not often that I've applauded the NHL or had a ton of interest, but props to them. The Four Nations Face-Off is a great idea. I think it was a huge success. And Thursday night, I'm looking forward to. All right, up next, let's get back to the NFL. One suggestion out there on franchise tag players, because the window opens up today. I don't know why one player on the Chiefs is being suggested. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We'll see if you guys agree next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.